U.S. home prices have jumped by the most in nearly 2 years, and Binance founder sentencing, that's coming up on Business Matters. Good afternoon, and thank you very much for being here with me today. I'm your host, Don Ma. Of course, gotta start off with markets. U.S. stocks ended lower today, and markets are digesting economic data showing rising labor costs and deteriorating consumer confidence. And all this is coming on the eve of a key Federal Reserve policy meeting to decide the direction of interest rates. So most Magnificent Seven stocks finished lower today. That's including Tesla, Alphabet, Nvidia, Microsoft, and Amazon. So I wanted to take a closer look at the benchmark S&P 500 real quick here. So as you remember, last month, we got very extended here, right here. And it was overbought by many indicators. And as I said previously, there was room for a correction. Well, we had that correction right here. And now we're below the 50-day moving average with it acting as resistance. That's the green line right here. So it tested it today, but failed to break through. So, you know, certainly possible that we could be testing the 100-day average, which is the blue line here. Don't count that out. A number of factors at play here, including earnings. And of course, what I mentioned earlier, the Fed and what it's going to say tomorrow. All right. Binance founder Changpeng Zhao has been sentenced to 4 months in prison, breaking news right here, for allowing money to be rampant and money laundering on the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange. So U.S. officials said Zhao looked the other way on transactions that supported child sex abuse, illegal drug trade, and terrorism. Now, Zhao pleaded guilty in November for failing to require anti-money laundering measures. He stepped down and Binance agreed to pay more than $4 billion to settle allegations here. Zhao apologized before a jury and said he is deeply regretting his failure. Now, moving on to home prices. In the U.S., rose at the fastest pace in more than a year last month. So the supply of homes on the market has been slowly improving in recent months, but still, nevertheless, it remains well below historic norms because, as you know, many homeowners have mortgages with low interest rates. So relocating or trading up to a larger home would involve financing at new rates for a 30-year fixed rate mortgage north of 7%. And a lot of people just don't want to do that. The biggest jump here in price was in San Diego, which saw a 11.4% increase. Now, on the other hand, Portland, Oregon saw the smallest year-over-year growth in home prices. Meanwhile, Americans' pay gains rose faster than expected during the first 3 months of this year, and this is according to a closely watched measure of labor costs. So the pickup in labor costs reported by the Labor Department today was despite signs of some easing in market conditions as supply is increasing. So, you know, while it is welcome news for workers, it's still a double-edged sword for central bankers who are looking for potential inflation pressures to ease a bit. Now, gains in pay could add inflationary pressure, no doubt, and will weigh on the Federal Reserve as it considers its next move on interest rates. Okay, up next, U.S. consumer confidence deteriorating in April and falling to its lowest level in more than 1.5 years. So this is amid worries about the labor market and income. This is according to a survey by the Conference Board. Its consumer confidence index fell to the lowest level since July 2022. And the chief economist there in Washington said, quote, "Consumers became less positive about the current labor market situation and more concerned about future business conditions, job availability, and income." So look, elevated price levels, especially for food and gas, dominated consumers' concerns with politics and global conflicts as distant runners-up. Now, some earnings to go through today, a lot of them. Walmart is closing all 51 of its health centers and shut its virtual healthcare operations, saying it could not see it as a sustainable business model to continue. Lisa Bernhardt has more.
Walmart is getting out of the healthcare business. The world's largest retailer said on Tuesday that it's closing all 51 of its health clinics, as well as all of its virtual healthcare operations. In its announcement, Walmart called it a, quote, difficult decision, but that it is, quote, determined there is not a sustainable business model for us to continue. The move is a surprising reversal of plans, as Walmart just last year said it would nearly double its number of health center locations. But now it sees a, quote, challenging reimbursement environment and escalating operating costs that hamper profitability. Its health centers, which house doctors and dentists and are typically located next to Walmart supercenters, are spread across five states, including Texas and Florida. All will be shut within 30 to 90 days. Companies such as Walmart, Walgreens, Amazon, and CVS expanded into providing healthcare services during the past 5 years, seeing opportunities in the highly fragmented U.S. healthcare system. But it has not been clear that consumers want such services from retailers or that they are profitable.
And just a note here, speaking of Walmart, it's also boosting its grocery department with a new private food brand. It's going to be called Better Goods, and it's going to have 300 items under that brand. This is the retailer's biggest launch of its kind in two decades. So as I mentioned, earnings, right? A rare miss for McDonald's. For the first time in 2 years, the burger giant fell short of quarterly profit estimates. And this is coming as consumers being very cautious here and how they spend their money. Same store sales in the US grew by 2.5%, slightly below estimates. In international franchised markets, same store sales fell 0.2% in the first quarter. Now, consumers in the Middle East and Muslim majority markets boycotted McDonald's over perceived support for Israel. McDonald's had warned investors that exceptional growth would, in fact, slow down. It noted that grocery prices have lowered. So, you know, it makes sense, right, that more people are eating at home. And during a call, by the way, with investors, the CEO said McDonald's plans to step up deals to attract customers back. Now, two Tesla executives and hundreds of employees are out. This was first reported by tech news site The Information and confirmed by an employee at Tesla through a social media post. So what's happening here is apparently CEO Elon Musk reportedly expressed frustration over falling sales. And The Information reports a senior director of the supercharger business, Rebecca Tanucci, and head of the new vehicles program, Daniel Ho, have been dismissed. So the Tesla employee who confirmed the report says the entire charging unit has been let go. Roughly 500 people work in the supercharger group. It's unclear how many work on the other team. The report also said that Tesla's public policy team will be dissolved. Now, moving on to Samsung, also reporting earnings. It's bouncing back with a strong first quarter this year, it looks like, after record losses last year, as the industry reeled from a post-COVID slump in demand. Today, Samsung said operating profit for the first quarter jumped nearly tenfold. Let's now go to NTD's Char Marshall. He takes a look at their current operations and future outlook.
Samsung reported a more than tenfold rise in first quarter operating profit today. It rose to $4.8 billion in January to March, up from $465 million a year earlier. It was the company's highest operating profit since the third quarter of 2022. The chip division, historically Samsung's big moneymaker that used to account for two-thirds of its operating profit, swung to a profit of $1.38 billion in the March quarter after suffering from losses a year earlier. Was the first profit since the third quarter of 2022. Samsung shipped about 60 million smartphones during the quarter, in line with a year earlier, but retaking its title as the world's top smartphone vendor from Apple, which is suffering a sales decline in China. In terms of outlook for the rest of the year, the company expects business conditions to stay strong, including for server and storage, despite volatility related to macro trends and geopolitical issues. It also anticipates strong demand for PC and mobile. Samsung also said it will step up offerings of high-end solid-state drive or SSD products to meet AI server demand, and expected high-end memory chip supply to become tighter toward year-end. Sean Marshall, NTD News.
All right, thanks for that, Sean. So we also have a new report today by S&P Global. It says that U.S. private auto insurers are seeing record levels of underwriting losses. So here's a refresher. Since the U.S. lifted the pandemic restrictions in 2021, fatal road accidents have returned to historical levels, and after more than a decade of decline, that is. So, you know, with accidents increasing and becoming more severe, the U.S. private auto insurance industry has experienced three consecutive years of underwriting losses, with $15.8 billion in losses in 2023 alone. So for deeper insight into the findings, I spoke to Patty Kwan, director from S&P Global Ratings. All right, Patty, thank you so much for your time today. It's a pleasure having you on the show. So to start off, maybe give us a background here. U.S. private auto insurers facing record underwriting losses. What is happening here?
Yeah, so there has been, you know, pressured underwriting margin, you know, it's on the, among the auto, private auto industry. And it is a turnaround, given that they had some years, you know, that were profitable. And then, once COVID, you know, ended, when, you know, people are driving again, you know, there has been, you know, a rising number of accidents and fatal, you know, fatalities on the American roadways. And that's not only just showing in the national highway statistics, but it's also showing up on the insurance industry, you know, particularly the private auto, you know, underwriters, the insurance company, that is. Some of the, you know, major, you know, auto writers like the like State Farm, Nationwide, Liberty Mutual, you know, it's across the board, you know, they had succumbed to, you know, heavy underwriting losses in their private auto line.
And if I may, a bit more context here as to why this is happening. What is the reason? What's fueling these underwriting losses?
Yeah, so there has been higher, you know, road accidents. For one, you know, people are distracted. Perhaps there's some, maybe some elements of poor road conditions. But the thing is that what added the underwriting losses is that it's cost more to fix a car, to repair a car, and also that, you know, there has been a rising medical claims inflation. So there's a number of things that's accumulated, you know, that added to an astounding, you know, $35 billion loss in 2022, and that continued to bleed in 2023, even though there was a improvement in 2023.
I would like to look ahead as well. What is the outlook for underwriting results in 2024 and beyond, perhaps?
Yeah, so, you know, for 2024, you know, we think that there will be, you know, some, you know, additional improvements. Companies like, you know, Progressive, Geico, you know, that already seeing, you know, profitability, they probably would continue to operate, you know, to profitably in 2024 and 2025. But certain companies, you know, that are still, you know, writing heavy losses, they probably will see some improvement in 2024, but 2025, we think that by and large, you know, most companies should be more than break even by then.
All right, just one final question. And taking a step back here, Patty, if you wouldn't mind elaborating for us, I'm very curious as to what motivated you guys to come up with this article.
Yeah, good questions. You know, as you know, many of us own a car or cars, you know, plural, and we've been seeing our auto policy premium going up over the last 12 to 18 months, and not knowing exactly why. And we showed that, you know, private auto premium is actually quite meaningful. You know, it's more than a third, you know, of the total insurance premium collected by all U.S. insurance company. It's pretty big. And then another reason I'm writing this article is that I too experienced a car accident last year driving from Smoky Mountain. All right. And it's not just a national highway data statistics that is showing road accidents on the rise. It has become close and personal. And so that is what, you know, motivated we, or even myself, you know, to write this article.
Wow, Patty. Well, I hope you're okay coming out of that accident. But thank you so much today. Pleasure speaking to you. Great discussion.
Thank you.
Our next story, small business experts slamming Biden's new corporate transparency law, saying that it violates natural rights and burdens them massively. NTD's Virginia Gibson has the details.
Can you share with us how many said, it's okay, I'm handling it, I think it's a good idea?
None. Small business owners criticize the Biden administration's Corporate Transparency Act. The act compels them to report who owns their companies to the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. The goal is to combat money laundering, tax fraud, and terrorist financing. Small business expert Carol Roth surveyed 450 small businesses. All of them oppose the act. Many believe it violates natural rights.
Asking small businesses and their owners to report sensitive personal information and identification to an organization involved in monitoring financial crimes unfortunately does just that.
Both small businesses and small business consultancies say compliance is a hassle. Small business advocate Timothy Opsitnik says it impacts their time.
First, they're going to have to read 102 pages of guidance. They're going to have to review the website for all these other things. They're going to have to talk to their attorneys, their accountants, other consultants. They're going to have to determine, do they fall with any of the exceptions? And most importantly for business owners, they're going to talk with their peers. And then they're going to have to gather the information of the information, and then they're going to have to input it.
Opsitnik says this distracts them from actually running their business. And the law has failed to catch any illegal activity.
If we want to prevent financial crimes, does anyone actually think that a money launderer or a cartel is going to be the one that reports?
Small business expert Carol Roth believes bad guys won't comply. Only honest business owners will. At the same time, they could face big penalties if they accidentally report something inaccurate. Penalties could include $500 per day. In some cases, a $10,000 fine and 2 years of prison time. Virginia Gibson, NTD News.
All right, taking a quick break now. Online fast fashion retailer Shein is wanting to carry brands like Colgate and toy maker Hasbro. It wants more household names on its platform. And this looks like going to be another summer travel season that is very busy. We have some great tips for you on how you can save on that vacation. Coming up, more on Business Matters. All right, welcome back. Just some quick headlines for you to keep you as up-to-date as possible for today. PayPal has lifted its 2024 profit forecast. It's been trying to recharge growth in branded checkout products, such as Venmo, and that's part of the business, and face competition from Apple and Google's digital payment systems. Meanwhile, its unbranded business have grown, that's payment processing behind the scenes for companies like Uber or DoorDash. Coca-Cola is bubbling up its annual organic sales forecast. This came after topping first quarter results, and that's because customers in the U.S. and international markets shelled out more money for juicy sodas and juices. Meta platforms Facebook and Instagram are under investigation by the European Commission. The probe will determine whether Meta failed to tackle deceptive advertising and disinformation leading up to the European Parliament elections. All right, now, some China-related stories. China's economic momentum slowing down in April. So signs of cooling activity highlights, unstable demand and underlines challenges facing policymakers. What's happening here is official surveys showing that growth slowed in China's manufacturing and services sectors in April. The National Bureau of Statistics reported a drop in the Purchasing Managers Index, and the NBS data found that new export orders grew at a much slower rate, while employment also continued to shrink at the same time. So a separate business survey said every major indicator, that's from revenue and profits to prices and hiring, all slowed in April. However, analysts say that the country's immediate problem centers around a prolonged property downturn and ballooning local government debt. Also, officials are taking China's economy as the top priority. And when it comes to air quality, well, not so much. China has missed air quality targets, and this is based on research by a nonprofit organization. An action plan set goals for cities to cut concentrations of hazardous particles by December. So what happened was in the fourth quarter of last year, about half of the exact same cities, they missed their targets. And the report found that weather made a bigger difference, in fact, in pollution improvements than actual emission changes. China's air quality targets are still below levels recommended by the World Health Organization. And fast fashion giant Shein is making moves into the household department. The online retailer now trying to court brands like toothpaste conglomerate Colgate-Palmolive and toy maker Hasbro. So Shein presented its marketplace services to those brands and more at an event in Madrid. Shein is best known for its affordable clothing and accessories, but it's also been hit with lawsuits, right? This is over claims of copyright violation from major brands at that, like Uniqlo. Now Shein is working to try to expand its business and build credibility to better compete with like the likes of Amazon. And Shein's platforms have already attracted many third-party retailers. This comes ahead of Shein's planned U.S. stock market listing later this year. And Memorial Day is right around the corner, the unofficial start of summer. And it's not too late to book a summer trip and still save money. So let's take a look at some ways to cut costs while planning for your next getaway.
Does summer have you dreaming of white beaches or perhaps an exotic getaway? There's still time to book a trip and save.
This is going to be another busy summer of travel.
When it comes to domestic travel, she recommends these tips. Book your trip 21 to 60 days out. Doing that can save you about 15% on average. Travel on a Tuesday, you'll find better deals. And 4th of July week is the busiest and most expensive time to travel. When it comes to international trips, Fish recommends booking 30 to 60 days out. Traveling on a Monday can help you save as well. And traveling in August instead of June can save you about $250. If you're heading to Italy, be aware of a new fee to enter Venice. Day trippers will have to pay $5.45 per person. And by the way, Fish says you can maximize your trip to Italy and other European destinations by taking lots of day trips.
Europe has a lot of great train options, so you can stay in one place and take short trips to other places.
If you're looking for a tropical destination, you can score some good deals this summer.
Summer is actually considered off season, so you actually can travel there for better value than in, say, January.
Fish says to be aware of the start of hurricane season when booking, and watch out for hidden resort fees that can rack up a bigger bill at the end of your vacation.
All right, that's all the stories we have for you today. Thank you very much for watching. Appreciate it. Now, if you have any feedback for the episode, feel free to let me know. You can email us at business@ntd.com or just, you know, leave a comment. I do read them. And as I always say, don't forget, business matters. See you tomorrow.